23 at 6:30 PM at Catskill Town Hall, 439 Main Street, Catskill, New York, to hear comments and concerns regarding existing violations of the Code of the Town of Catskill, Unsafe Buildings, Chapter 90, Article 2, Section 90-1, on the property of Properties LLC, EI Brothers Properties LLC, Park Lane, Leeds, New York, 12451, tax map number 138.11-1-21, in that the property has been deemed upon inspection to constitute a public nuisance. The property owner is directed in order to immediately abate or remove the conditions by March 10th, 2023. Failure or refusal to comply by the above specified date may result in a duly authorized officer, agent, or employee of the Town of Catskill entering upon the property and abating or removing the public nuisance. The cost and expense of such abatement or removal shall be the responsibility of the owner and without limitation of the town's potential remedies to recoup its expenses. Such cost and expense shall be assessed against the described property and shall constitute a lien thereon to be provided as collected by law.
Thank you, Liz, appreciate it. Just for all those that are in the audience that aren't familiar with the public hearing, that situation was to do with some billboards that were on near Astoria Motor Court coming into Leeds, and, you know, multiple attempts had been tried and unsuccessful to have those billboards removed. Since we scheduled a public hearing and gave a couple of additional invitations to come before the town board, it's been resolved, so let's report that the property owner did rectify their remedy and did take those signs down. So really, at this point, I don't think anybody from that piece of property is in attendance tonight, so unless there's any other comments with that, I'd probably entertain a motion.
Motion.
Motion to enter to close out the public hearings. We got a first by Patrick and a second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, and most so carry. Next one we have up is a continuation of the public hearing on the zoning and revisions that we started last month. Do we need to redo that notice again, Liz?
No.
That's open to the, we need a motion, I guess we're gonna open that up for any comments. Before we get going on the public hearing, on the continuation of the public hearing, I know there's been a few concerns about zoning changes on 23 in Leeds. Some of the things that came out, or you may have heard about, those were suggestions from the previous public hearing that's not inclusive in our current revisions. Those, some of those were just suggestions of somebody, or, you know, individuals in the audience on that given night. So I just wanted, you know, clarify that, you know, before we get started with any further comments on the code revisions that we're here, you know, continuing tonight. Any comments or any further additions? Mr. Vetter, you got something you wanna add to the?
I'm here to talk about the revision number 8, definition for townhouse. Are you okay?
You're on.
Okay. About a year ago, I spent $10,000 to have a two-unit townhouse built at the Catskill Golf Resort. This is a picture of the unit that I had proposed. And at the time when I went in front of the planning board, I was informed that there was no attached housing in the town of Catskill. And in order to get that particular building that I spent money on to be designed, that I should call it a duplex home. About a month later, and I wanna thank the board for adding townhouses to the town code, because I do think with the shortage of housing, attached housing is going to be a good solution to solve some of those things. And in my particular case, I wanted to start small. Unfortunately, there was some confusion when I met with the code enforcement officer, that the definition at that time had been put in as attached housing defined as three or more units, which was some confusion, because that was the following of state code. What I'm here to recommend to the town board, and each of you as an individual member, is to ask yourselves, am I here to look out for the best interests of the people of the town of Catskill? Or am I here to look out for the best interests of people in the state of New York? And I think it's the town of Catskill, because I am truly a believer that two-unit townhouses are an excellent solution to be a code for the town of Catskill. I'll read something my lawyer wrote up for me, because we have since realized that two-unit townhouses are in the definition of the code, that I went to the planning board to apply. There's a pending application right now for my two-unit townhouse, and I'm very happy about that. They were acceptable, very acceptable in the planning board. But now I'm seeing that there's a recommendation to change the definition in the town of Catskill from a two-unit attached building to back to state code. And I have the question in front of the board, why? Are we here to follow state code, or are we here to follow what we think that is best for the people in the town of Catskill? And I think it's the latter. When we looked at what we put on our map, where it was going to go.
I mean,
does anybody, understand?
Well, I think we're pretty well familiar with the project. I mean, we're looking at the broader picture. If I understand your concern, your specific project.
Right. But I do believe, when the question came up, and I was under the impression that the definition was three or more, not only did I have a problem with my specific project, but I was challenged by you to specifically find me a two-unit building, a two-unit townhouse in the state of New York. And I found one in New York Town Heights, and when I went down there and interviewed the developer and interviewed some of the people from the town, they wanted to make it as easy as possible for developers to build in New York Town Heights. And I truly believe going back to the definition of a three-unit building is not making it easy for developers to build in the town of Catskill. I'm here to say that the town board reject the proposed revision, because I'm truly a believer. First of all, what about two? I asked the question, you can build a single-family house, or you can build attached housing of three or more, which is what I was under the impression was the original code, which it wasn't. I said, what about two? Did you miss something? I truly believe two is the answer. So I'm asking the board to reject the proposed revision. The revision was promoted to try and bring the town code definition in line with the definition of townhouses in the New York State Uniform Building Code. However, the town is not bound to adopt definitions utilized in another code by another state agency. The town has the ability to define and grant special use permits for townhouses under its zoning law and is not bound by the state definition. The town just amended the definition to allow townhouses of two or more attached units, and there's nothing in the record to demonstrate why it's not in the public interest to amend the definition again in a manner that would restrict and prohibit townhouse developments consisting of only two attached units. In the event the town determines that the amendment is appropriate and in the public interest of the people of the town of Catskill, I respectfully request that the town board make it clear that the amendment will not apply to a pending application, which is what I have on file right now, for townhouse development.
This is just for the record, all the town board members are in receipt of the letter from Allison as well.
That was
from Allison, and she emailed us. The town board and the town attorney and everybody about 4:30 this afternoon with those comments. Just to be on our record, we are all in receipt of those comments.
So, again, I just ask you to think about what's best for the people of the town of Catskill, and that following New York State Code might not be in the best interest of the people of the town.
Okay. Thank you very much for your input. Any other concerns, or anybody want to talk about any other revisions that are currently proposed and under consideration by the town board? And I believe all those were on our website, correct, list for any individuals that wanted to look at those revisions?
Mm-hmm.
I
just want to, I know you had some opening statements about 23B, but I also want to ask the question, if you're not going to vote on them, today, what are the next steps for the board with those suggestions?
I mean, there was a slew of suggestions, as Mr. Vittler had one, about going from two-unit, staying at two-unit townhouses versus three.
Sorry.
On that specific one, on 23B?
Yes, that's the only one I'm asking.
Okay. If we're going to be specific to 23B, I mean, that's a vast change if you're going to look for miles worth of change. I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think that's something that would have to happen or should happen under
a comprehensive
plan, which would have a lot of public input. So that particular issue with 23B is not currently under consideration by the town board. And I feel the only way that we would get to that level is if we really had a full-blown comprehensive plan. I mean, there's little tweaks that can happen along the way, not specific to 23B, but I don't see that happening without a comprehensive plan being implemented and going through many public meetings and input.
Is the board currently contemplating a comprehensive review?
Yes.
Yes.
The time frame for something like that to begin?
I would say probably not until 2024-ish in that area.
Okay, thank you.
Can I speak to the procedure just a little bit?
Sure.
So the way this works, code revisions, we started in the fall last year. In fact, we did this a year ago, and now we're doing it again. We started in the fall last year. I met with the planning board, two or three times. And I think a couple of weeks ago or a month ago, I presented to the board recommendations from the planning board. I think there were 39 proposed revisions, and most of those, and maybe all of them, fall into one of two categories. The same category. The code is, once you're living with the code and you're working with the code, town board does, the planning board does, the zoning board, the town attorney, and you have real life scenarios that come up in front of a board, and you're looking at the language. A lot of times, you'll see, well, there's some ambiguity in the language. So, as far as content, there's a little bit of content. There's not a whole lot of content. It's mostly cleaning up ambiguities so that, in particular, the planning board, which deals with it the most, but the town board, the zoning board, when you can get rid of ambiguities, that's always preferable. So we had 39 proposed revisions. The town board, I think, has reviewed last time, reviewed the 39 revisions. Most of them, I think the board as a whole found acceptable. There were a number of them that they gave back to me to fine-tune even that language. So those revisions I anticipate, or I hope, the town board, we might not be ready tonight, but in the near future, those revisions most of those revisions are going to be adopted. Now, I sent out a 10 new proposals, which Mr. Vittler is referring to, you're referring to, and those are not, these are not recommendations from anybody. The 10 new proposed revisions that are dated February 27, 2023, that are on the website, I'm simply the secretary writing down what comments we've received, either in writing or comments that we received in person at the public hearing. Some of these, again, are constitute getting rid of ambiguities, and they're probably good ideas, but none of these these are not being promoted by the planning board, they're not being promoted by the town board. The town board hasn't even reviewed these. And certainly, recommendation number 10, which is we change highway commercial, County Route 23B to highway commercial, that's something that the town board would not do outside of a comprehensive plan. So most of the revisions, I think, a good number of them will be adopted in the near future. I'm going to recommend or ask the town board to adopt. There's two changes to the zoning map, which I hope we can take care of tonight, and then the other changes will do hopefully in the near future.
And you had those two quick ones today, right? The little board changes as far as shared driveway?
Those are, you know, that's something we need to talk about, certainly.
Yeah, we're not ready to move on that tonight, I don't think.
No,
that's going to be part of it. We'll make a discussion with the other changes as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's up to further discussion as well.
Sure.
With the board.
Sure.
Okay. Thanks for the further explanation of where we are, Ted. I appreciate it. So, is there any other further questions as far as pending zoning changes in the town of Castle for the purpose of what we've already proposed?
Was there anything about the mailings that have to go out when you do a public hearing? Because I see something number 7 go back to 300 feet for the public hearing, but I'd like to recommend, if possible, possible emailing. I'm in a situation where I'm sending out 58 notices for my subdivision. For a public hearing on a major subdivision now that we're doing 4 lots. 58 that has to be surrounding people around 137 acre golf course parcel. And if we could do it by email and people that don't have email, then you do the certified letter.
I hear your points, but I'm not sure how the town board, the planning board, or the applicant's going to be able to get legitimate emails from people. And then on the legalities, how are we going to have a documentation that they read the, you know, so the legalities of being notified, I'm not really sure of an email would be the right path. But I understand your concern about the 300 feet. I mean, that's why we had it at 500.
Then you went back to I support the 300, definitely.
I mean, a little bit's a cost of doing business. I mean, it's about transparency. Neighbors need to know what their neighbors plan on doing, and if it costs somebody a couple hundred dollars to go in front of the planning board, I think it's, in my opinion, it's money that's well spent as a town official, because I think that's why we have people in the audience tonight, because they're concerned what's going on in their neighborhood. And so I think notification of neighbors is an important fact. I mean, at one point we brought forward, if you lower that zone down to, you know, maybe 200 feet, maybe signs on the property that it's going to go in front.
Maybe standard first class channel.
There's no way to document that somebody received it.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Just 34 years of the post office. I get what why we have to be certified. And I view it as a little bit of this, the cost of doing business when you're going to, you know, do a major project.
Want me to say anything about PUDs?
Sure. I mean, in this particular, you actually brought the PUDs to our attention 2 years ago when you really were starting on a different path with your project and about PUDs. And I'll turn that over to Ted. But again, we were talking about the 3-unit townhomes versus 2. But if we go back to 3, it's not like the town wouldn't be allowable to have a 2, but we want to look at possibly doing that within a PUD. A plan, that's a plan unit.
Or maybe you could do it under a variance. If you went back to 3.
You want to do as little as possible. In a perfect world, a ZBA would have nothing to do. You don't want, you want as few variances as possible.
Correct.
So, just quickly, a PUD, townhouses are it's a very interesting concept, and it's a very strange sort of an animal, because you're taking, you know, you have a two-family house, and it's owned by, you know, one owner owns that parcel. A townhouse is, as many of us know, Mr. Biffle certainly, a townhouse is, you're taking a building, a single building that has, you know, 2 units to it, and each unit is owned by an individual person. So, and then you have a third, potentially a third landowner, if you have a homeowners association that owns the yard. So it's a strange sort of an animal, and what the town board has been talking about is not not totally getting rid of two unit townhouses, but two unit townhouses might be something that would be better reviewed in the context of a PUD. A PUD is a planned unit development, which would require a local law, and basically the landowner comes in, the developer comes in, he or she has a parcel, a large parcel, 50 acres, 100 acres, whatever it is, and there's some systematic plan for the whole 100 acres. You're going to have roads are going to be laid out, you're going to have common space, you're going to have townhouses, so the thing is approached in some comprehensive fashion that works for the community, that the aesthetics have been addressed, the landscaping has been addressed, rather than just have potentially a townhouse, one townhouse over here, another townhouse over here. That's probably not preferable, and there's really, if you go around and you look at other towns, that's not the way other towns do it. Other towns have a developer comes in with a plan, a concept, and you're going to have 20 townhouses or 50 townhouses or whatever it is, as opposed to one townhouse here and one townhouse there. So that's how a PUD works. The town board has been talking about a PUD, and apparently I'm going to be working on PUD language.
That's our next step.
In the near future.
That reverts back to the original thing. We do want development in Catskill, but we want planned development that's going to work for everybody.
I agree.
Not like,
But those are only very big projects. I'm saying I think you want the very big projects, and I agree planned unit development is the way to go on a very big project, but I think you also want some small projects.
We do, and we'll see how this moves forward. But if it's a two unit townhouse, that might be in a PUD, and a three might be the smaller ones. But we'll see how that develops in a couple of more weeks from now, and things like that. But I think we're on the right path. And like you mentioned, a year ago or 2 years ago, we didn't have definitions of what a townhouse or what we wanted to look like. So we've made considerable progress on bringing past the board as far as development concerned. Okay. With that, any other further questions on the public hearing as far as revisions to our codes?
Motion to close.
Motion closed by Jared. Second.
Rochelle.
Do you want to
close this? Do you want to
close
this?
I think we should close it. Yes. So we got a motion by Jared. We got a second by Juan Scanapico. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Okay, with that, we'll open up our normal agenda meeting for the month of March. First items we normally start with is minutes to be accepted. We have minutes from the February 7th Catskill Town Board monthly meeting. February 15th, we have public hearing, Local Law 1, which was the volunteer and ambulance workers for their tax exemption, which passed in Catskill. Hopefully, our volunteers got in and applied for their exemptions for 2024. Next one we have is February 15th, our Local Law 2 amending the codes, and February 15th, again, Catskill Town Board Committee meeting. So I need a motion to accept their minutes. Motion by Jared, second by Patrick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried. Correspondence this month, we have Greene County Resolution Local Law 1, 2023, providing real property tax exemption for volunteer firefighters and ambulance workers pursuant to Section 466-A of the real property law, and that was from Greene County. Letter for introduction for Jane Hannes, who's the Greene County Director of Economic Development. Letter from St. Catherine Center for Children requesting a sponsorship. And that's basically all we have on that. So we're going to go to new business, and tonight, a couple other items we have representatives from Archtop Fiber. They're interested in pursuing fiber optic in the town of Catskill. So with that, I'll turn the floor over to you guys. Just introduce yourselves, and then we'll hear your presentation, and we'll see what questions may arise.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman.
Well, good to see you again.
Yeah.
Thank you, members of the council, for giving us this time. My name is Sean McKay. I'm a founder of the company and have some leave behinds for you so you see who we are and sort of so you have a little bit of a record of what we are in the process of doing. But I thought the best way to start would be sort of introduce who we are, sort of generally what the plan is and what the timing of that plan is, I think, to give you a sense of where. My name is Sean, as I said. I have two other founding partners, Lenny Higgins and Jeff DeMond. We have together, I'm not sure how many decades of experience in the broadband industry. We have built systems really throughout the world. Most recently, I completed a 4,400-mile fiber optic project in the state of New York on the southern tier in Steubenville and Allegheny and Cattaraugus counties.
I'm sorry, Sean, you want to face the audience and the board?
Yes, sorry. But prior to that, we were the management team of a really beloved old family-run cable company called Bresnan Communications. We were the cable, TV, and broadband provider. Largely in the Midwest, we built all of Montana, all of Wyoming, about a third of Colorado, much of Michigan. That company, when Mr. Bresnan passed away, was sold to what is now Charter or Spectrum, as you know it. And after that, I went and built this project in Southern New York, but have had my heart in the Catskills and the Hudson Valley for most of my life. And so about a year ago, we started discussing an opportunity here, and that thesis is really, you know, what we discussed earlier was a three-legged stool of sort of a business plan. First is the acquisition of several, all really 100-year-old incumbent family phone companies. Germantown Telephone Company, just down the way, who the Bonsack family and I go back decades, Hancock Telephone, among others. And to create this constellation of smaller companies that have been capital starved and don't have the scale to compete with what is a wave of competitive entrance into the fiber market. And the fiber market is fundamentally changing, both from a technological perspective and also a sort of business. There is more competition now than there really ever has been. So, the second, and we have acquired these companies, we're in the process of some regulatory approvals, and are continuing to discuss others to create this constellation around the Hudson Valley. And you can see that map in what I've left. Aside from upgrading all of these systems to what we will be building, is a state-of-the-art fiber-to-the-home network, which is something, which is a designation called XGS-PON. Which is not really readily available yet. There are companies testing it in New York. It's readily available in Tokyo and Seattle and a couple of other places. But a full fiber-to-the-home deployed architecture, XGS-PON, will be provisionable upon lighting it. We'll be starting construction in June and completing about 18 months later. And it will be fully 10 gig capable. Our slowest speeds will be a full gig, binary up and down, and that will be a competitive service to the incumbent providers that you currently have now. Throughout the area, and that is a trend that is happening really around the country, companies like Metronet, Greenlight, and Rochester, and Buffalo, and it is extending to the smaller communities around them, which is really where our sweet spot is. We are a rural, really agricultural provider, and have been doing that all of our careers. As a company, while we are newly founded, we are hardly a startup. We have what I consider the best capital there is, which is institutional pension funds, long-term operator investors. They are not build and flip kind of investment, the Ontario Teachers Pension Fund, amongst many, many others. We have $350 million in cash and zero debt right now. The first project is about $250 million. It is 2,508 miles of fiber optics in Green, Columbia, Ulster, Sullivan, and Dutchess County, where I live. Actually, Northern Dutchess is where I live. We are setting up our corporate offices in the, we're the lead of a redevelopment of the IBM facility that was shut down in the late 90s in Kingston, and we are building our corporate offices there for about 100 people. And as we said, we continue to acquire these phone companies and also build out, expanding from those phone companies to higher density areas like Catskill and like Hudson in this general area, but also Kingston and Saugerties and New Paltz and up and down not the nine highways, up and down the river and over all the way to the Delaware River where Hancock Telephone is. What else can I say about it? We are the first 14. I think one of the things that I sort of really enjoy about our company is we have been friends and family for many, many decades. The first 14 employees all have worked with or for me and other places. My two partners, as I said, we've worked together for many decades. It is a testament, I think, to us that wherever, whenever we start a company, our people come from wherever and come back. We have, as I said, started the permitting process, and we have, at this point, close to, I think, $10 million of material either in hand or on order. So supply chain has always been an issue, and more currently during the pandemic. We are prepared to start construction as soon as the pole permitting happens. We are a registered CLEC, so our authority to be in the right-of-way is granted by the state through a Certificate of Public Conveyance and Need. We have pole attachment agreements with the pole owners and are in the process of that permitting.
In all of that, though, you're talking that you have these permits that are in place for Catskill or other communities?
We're filing permits in all of the communities. That includes Catskill. The third leg of that stool, however, is, you know, we have the companies that we are buying, the expansion that we are paying for 100% out of pocket for the areas where there's a financial return to do so, the denser areas. We routinely build down to about 10 homes per mile. Our model is a very, very efficient fiber model. Doesn't require any power supplies every 150 feet on poles. We can actually sling light about 20 kilometers from a hub site. The hub site here will, to serve this will actually be in Saugerties. And that allows us a great deal of flexibility to get down to areas where some of the older technologies struggle on a density perspective. You often hear 20 homes per mile to be a limiting factor. We build routinely with our own investment down to about 10. That said, there are plenty of homes in Greene County, although Warren has done an extraordinarily good job of sussing out where those areas are and figuring out how to partner with the incumbent providers to solve that. There is still, I believe, a need for a competitive. There is this really tsunami of public funding which is coming down the pike. $42.5 billion in the BEAD fund alone, close to $65 billion. And what we look at as really the connective tissue in between those acquisitions and those investments by ourselves are all the areas that would not be financially viable for us to invest in. You know, frankly, because we pay $28 a pole just in annual rent to be on the poles, and the taxes that we have to pay to municipalities for the property taxes that we pay to be on those poles. If we are below 10 homes per mile, the model gets a little wobbly at that point. But if you can bring the capital costs of about $75,000 a mile to build down through partnerships with these public entities. And I've just demonstrated 4,400 miles of this in the southern tier of New York in partnership with the State Broadband Fund. That actually changes the economics and allows us to go even further into the 4, 5, or even 3 home per mile plant. We have started doing all of the engineering and all that stuff, you know, where those funding opportunities are. And as you can imagine, it's an expensive process to do all of that engineering. And if I were to go to my investors and say, we're going to engineer every home in six counties, and it's going to cost us however much it costs us, they'd sort of look at me a little bit sideways. But what we have done is we have come to communities just like this and said, let's look at this as a joint effort. And this is what we're planning on doing, and you see it there. This is what will be built, you know, irrespective of public partnership or public funding. But there are so many opportunities to extend that further to areas that might not have had the benefit of broadband, or at least XGS-PON 10 gig broadband in the past. And what we would, what we had done is entered into these basically very simple memorandums. And there are documents that say broadband is really important. There's a ton of money coming down, you know, for municipalities around. The city of Catskill deserves as much or more of that as it is entitled to. We would like to partner with you to make sure that we could get an application in. It is non-exclusive. You can enter into as many of these contracts as you see fit, and it is cancelable by you at any given time. So what does that provide me? That provides me the ability to go back to my investors and say, instead of you guys entering into, like most, a lot of municipalities have, hiring an engineering firm to create a broadband plan, spend a few $100,000 for the privilege, and then you end up with a plan without a partner to execute. Then you have to go and find that partner. This puts the cart before the horse in that regard. We will do the engineering. For Greene County and this surrounds, it will probably be in the range of $75,000 to $100,000 for me to do that. And I'm happy to do that. The MOU allows me to look at my partners and say, we have at least an expression of interest. There is no, if we apply, there is no cost to the city or town. There is no, if the money gets awarded, there is no obligation to the town for compliance with the, in other words, we would be the applicant, we would be the recipient, we would be the constructor, we would be responsible for meeting all of the obligations of that program. What you would be providing us is really local knowledge and support for the application itself. When the city or the federal government, whether it's the National Telecommunications Infrastructure Association or the FCC or the Empire State Development Fund or a new recently developed state agency is determining where the roughly $1.2 to $1.8 billion that New York will spend over the next several years, they want to make sure that there are many stakeholders involved as possible, and they're giving it to a responsible party who has demonstrated the ability to bring the latest technology in and also meet as many needs of the most number of people as possible. And partnering with counties, and we already have the MOUs with 14 or 15, including Ulster County and Dutchess and the City of Kingston and the Town of Saugerties and Town of Kingston. Yeah, so we can sort of go down that list. So again, we're not new to this. We've been doing this for as long as the internet has existed. We have done it in New York recently. We are doing it here as I've been doing this a long time. I'm 55 years old, and I live in Dutchess County. I plan on doing it right here for the rest of my career. This is the last project that I intend to work on. And I would like to answer any questions you have with regard to the MOU. Again, with, irrespective of whether we get the MOU, we are going to be proceeding with our $250 million plan to be a competitive provider in the Hudson Valley.
Of that $250, are you, so you're still going to be committed to doing a certain amount of mileage in the town of Castle, regardless of the grant money?
Yes.
And to what level do you anticipate going down to as far as residents per mile, if no grant money were to be found?
Roughly 10.
10.
Because, well, like you said, the county's done an exceptional job building out.
Warren is an amazing.
The town of Catskill is pretty much built out. The next year and a half, everything will be fiber. So my question to you is, without the BEAD funds and everything like that, where's the ROI?
We're excellent operators. We're excellent competitive operators. The ROI is, and this has been done over and over again in communities across the country already. Companies like Greenlight have done this. Saratoga is doing it right now. Rochester. It'll be a competitive for the first time, really. It'll be a truly competitive market. So the ROI is, whatever we believe that there is probably, again, with competitors in the room, you're asking me to share my business plan. I can tell you there is enough room in the competitive market to support.
Part of your business plan is getting taxpayers' money to build your infrastructure.
No, it's not, actually.
Well, the grant is, you're asking for us.
That is for the extension for area. The business plan to build Catskill has absolutely nothing to do with public. The public money is really to extend to areas where we couldn't make an ROI. The ROI for the town of Catskill is rock solid, as is evidenced by the quality of our investors.
If Archtop and, say, the county council went into the agreement and we were successful at obtaining some of the monies, is there any clauses or things of that nature that says you have to give a certain price point back to the customer or the resident in Catskill? And and that really is, as you mentioned, you have other cable people in the house tonight. But the thing is, I think most everybody here wants competition, and I think competition is good for the consumer. But at the same time, we want a level playing field for everybody too. So say we were able to get 10, 15, 20 million, whatever that number happens to be, and you're a recipient of that grant through the town of Catskill. What's that do for pricing, and is there something that we would be obligated to give a discounted pricing for a certain amount of time, which may become an unfair advantage for existing people?
Yes, it's a great question. The new New York broadband program, for instance, required that recipients of those funds charge no more than $59 for, I believe it was 100 megabit by up, down, by 30 megabit up service. Now, we are obviously going to eclipse that by 10 just to start. The new program has yet to issue the rules. The latest map on where the money will get spent, and it could develop within the next month or so, that the map gets issued and there is no money available in the town budget because it's all fully served. I don't believe that's the case. I believe they will consider it largely underserved because the speed designation has been climbing. But that remains to be seen. I believe that there will be there will certainly be similar price caps for participants in this program for the new funds as there were in the old. And in fact, they will probably be more restrictive as opposed to less. Instead of $59, they may be $49. So I'm not sure what they would be. But I would say that, as you hinted, competition will always have a depressive effect on price. We will be a competitor in the market and a second entrant, so we will be more aggressive on price. It's just, it has ever been thus in competitive markets. I happen to agree with you that competitors make better operators of everybody. And so while I can't tell you that our 1 gig, 2 gig, and 10 gig services will be priced specifically because we just haven't developed that structure yet. We have talked about it, and it is all significantly cheaper than the existing pricing across the country, really, and certainly locally. So the prices you will be paying, we will not be offering video service. We will be offering internet service and telephone service. We're building a carrier-grade network, which really doesn't exist here at this point. It is fully redundant, backhauled to a facility we partners with and own in Albany called INOC, and another facility down in New York City. It will be, every part of the network will be in these 20-kilometer hub loops with self-healing rings and redundant. So if you get a cut in one area, a house on one side of the cut will fail over one direction, and a house on the other side will fail over in the other. We also, as a company, provide battery backups, even though the FCC only requires us to make it available. We have historically and will continue to provide free batteries to all of our customers, as well as a free Wi-Fi, managed Wi-Fi service in the houses. As part of that, we're not going to upcharge for the boxes or the Wi-Fi services. Through the latest technology, company called Plume, which does really wonderful work on radios. So again, I can't tell you how much it's going to be, but it will certainly be cheaper than you have, and I imagine we'll continue in that pressure trend as competition.
And my only other question is because community involvement.
Yeah, great question.
And you'll go to a bunch of these names where our current providers do a lot of stuff for the community. So what is your company's plan as far as, you know, helping out organizations in the community, sponsoring stuff?
I have been an admirer of the Reynolds family and the Hudson Cable for most of my career. I've known them for decades. Excellent community involvement. I will hold Bresnan up. We have won every award in that regard so many times that there was a point where the Cable Trade Association that issues the awards for customer service and community care asked us, despite our metrics being better than anybody else, if they could continue to give it to other people, because we had won it 3 years in a row. That was in the early 2000s. We actually put our community involvement above the line. It's not paid out of post EBITDA profits. It's actually part of ours. That department reports up to me. We will put our involvement against anybody else's anywhere in the country. And it sounds like swagger. I guess I'm here selling myself, so I have to sound a little bit arrogant in that regard, but it is an excellent question. And Bill Bresnan always said, you provide fair service, really, really good quality. You answer phones so the people who answer the phone can talk about the weather with the people who are calling, and it's the same weather. If it's raining where they are, it should be raining where you are. And you do it at a fair price, and you take care of your communities will take care of you. That has been our model since there was cable. Bill Bresnan was a Depression-era kid who stood on a hill outside of Mankato, Minnesota, said, if I put a stick here and wire some coax down there, this is called cable. He was never a retro guy. When fiber started coming into the market, everyone's like, oh my God, fiber's going to kill us. Bill said, no, fiber's going to make us. It's a more efficient way to deliver the service. So we were early adopters of that. We were the broadband provider to all of the intercontinental ballistic missile silos at Malmstrom Air Force Base across Montana and into Wyoming. So we know mission critical. We were the state broadband provider for the entire state of Montana, the first cable company to ever win a statewide contract. I believe the only one still to have ever won that. When we sold the company, the governor of Montana, Brian Schweitzer, and you can look it up, said, happy for the management of cable, of Bresnan there, but this is a bad day for the state of Montana, because we'll never have an operator that's in tune to us as they were.
In the Hudson Valley, when you're starting to expand in our area, do you have any live customers that hasn't built out and been completed? Do you have anybody that's actually receiving the service now? In which towns would they be?
Germantown.
Germantown through the acquisition of GDP.
Yes, but we are extending about 3,800 homes around that, and that construction is underway.
What's your response time? So if a tree comes down on the lines and take it out, or is there an issue in somebody's house?
Great question. We do all of our own design and construction. With some contractors, obviously, when you have a project at this point, you have to backfill. We've always been a technically advanced company. As we said, we build to a 5.9 architecture, similar to the incumbent phone companies. Not usual among the cable companies. The XGS PON architecture is, by its very nature, much, much more stable than anything else. The furthest deployment you will have of a technician will be from Kingston. So, just 4 minutes to get up here. So it couldn't possibly be any more than that, but we will have technicians local to all the Germantowns right across the river. We will be probably building a tech center since this is a population hub and we are looking north of here as well. There will be a presence in this area of technicians. So while I can't tell you what our our exact response times will be. I would put, again, aside from the Doug community, our response time, our technical expertise, probably against anybody in the industry. We're just well known for it. And please, I encourage you to call Cattaraugus County and ask about me personally and look up who President Communications was. We are extraordinarily proud of ourselves. Not as constructors, and we built Warsaw and Krakow, Poland after the Berlin Wall fell. We built Santiago, Chile down to Tierra del Fuego. We have built extraordinarily difficult systems. Montana, as you would imagine, there's a lot of rock and a lot of mountains, you know, to get from Bozeman to Whitefish, you're going over a lot of Rockies. So the technological challenges of this area, while they are profound, lots of rock, lots of hills, don't scare us at least. This is right in our strength zone.
So underserved, the definition really is speed. That's what underserved, mankind tried to do a little research, but always came back to speed. So then they got the BEAD fund, is that what you call it?
BEAD.
Okay. So when does that map do out? Or because we may or may not have that much underserved area in Catskill. I mean, I just don't know that, but you know, but we're not really sure when that map is going to be available.
We expect it
about a month. Okay. Boy, any questions?
What about discounts? Senior discount, low income?
Great question. There are two different programs. One is in the work. One is in existence right now, which is the ACP program under the federal guidelines, which provides a $30 benefit to people in the school lunch program. A whole host of different, qualifications in which you go onto the FCC website, get qualified, and then the provider, I'm sure, knows it participates in that as well. We certainly do. In fact, I was on the FCC panel creating that fund, so I'm a passionate believer in broadband equity, not just broadband availability. New York State is also discussing adding an additional $30 discount to that to cover other non-covered ACP program benefits for things like seniors, perhaps an income qualification for low-income housing, or even additive to that. We plan on providing a lower speed, lower cost service to meet those requirements, so there will essentially be subsidized service for qualifying households, I would call it. So while we're not planning on doing a strict, and I don't know ever, but start senior discounts, and as I turn 55, maybe my thinking on this might change, but I always thought senior discounts don't quite make a whole, because there are plenty of people.
We have a senior population in Green County that.
And, where there is need, there should be subsidy, and we believe that strongly. And have participated in every program, frankly, ever.
You may have said this and I may have missed it, but we have a couple areas just in Catskill where people cannot get internet service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, would this help that?
Yes.
So those people would then have internet?
Correct.
Okay.
And just to follow up on with that, I think that's important. You know, Green County just put out RFPs, and I believe they were awarded or close to being awarded. I believe town of Catskill, we have a might correct down at the, it's around 127 in, dwellings in the county council that have no service. So that's, and you might be one of them. Some are proud of
here.
I chose to live there.
It's just like you run the wire right across the lawn. It's right there.
So there's underserved and there's people that are not served. And we have 127 dwellings or parcels that are not served currently.
Mm-hmm.
And through Green County, with the ARPA money, they, again, I don't know about the Catskill portion, but they allocated $2.2 million for that. So in the near future, we feel that Catskill's not going to have anybody that doesn't have a wire of some sort coming to their house, including the one on the beginning of Better Now. So we'll see how that develops, but that's being rectified currently.
I can't believe it's 2021, or 2023, and we still don't have it.
I mean, there's other alternatives. You got dish and things like that, but I get it. But again, it's a business venture. Now it's coming where the government has stepped in and gave.
Right, within 2 years.
They you know, the grant money is coming in through the county, or we're looking at the BEAD money or what have you here. So, you know, those are the avenues that we have to take to get the unserved or people in underway.
Yeah. I think the federal government does certain things extraordinarily well. Some things less well, but certain things extraordinarily well. And when they have a political will to do something, which you can translate that to money, you know, Transcontinental Railroad two centuries ago, or rural electrification, when people could get light bulbs in New York City, or they couldn't get them on a farm outside of Catskill, they created the Rural Electrification Fund, the Rural RUS, Rural Utility Service, Rural Telephone, with the Universal Service Fund. They never quite got there with broadband, because broadband was always considered a private investment vehicle to get there, and it was never really considered to be the money to create ubiquitous broadband. The pandemic fundamentally, it was traveling in that direction. There was, during the last recession, there was the, during the Obama funds, about $7 billion, which was a fraught system, largely a failure. And then there were, the state did a $500 million new New York broadband fund in 2017 and 18. This is what I believe probably the last and only chance to truly solve what has been called the digital divide. And if we can't do it for $65 billion, we should all just roll it up and get out of business. You know, just, and I believe that everybody, and Jessica Rosen herself is the chairman of the SEC and a friend, has said there's fiber optics, a true two-way, multi-gig fiber optics, and then there's every other type of service. And if you don't have that, you are disadvantaged to a certain degree, as opposed to the person who does have it. And that's what we plan on providing. I think, you know, other operators, if we don't, there will be another operator, but, you know, coming in eventually. We see the opportunity in the Hudson Valley earlier than most, and I don't know how much more I can add to that other than we're extraordinarily enthusiastic to be here, and I hope you will see that we are as responsible. Judge me by what we do a year from now, not by what I'm telling you today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the presentation. Good.
No, the line.
Okay. All right, thank you. Okay, still up under new business. Next one we have on the agenda is Ms. Hudson Cable, and they would like to address some issues with fiber optics.
Well, we sent you guys some information today at the board, just, you know, about what's going on with our upgrade and everything like that. I can speak to the county grant, even though, you know, we know that the county grant is coming. We were awarded. We had Fetter Mountain Road that will be done, along with every other road in Catskill, the town of Catskill. So I can definitely tell you that those will be done. We've already started applying for them, the full licenses for them. So as soon as we get the licenses and the make ready's done by the utilities, which would be Verizon and Central Hudson, we'll get our crew in there to build out the road, and it will be, down Castle will be 100% covered.
Fiber?
Yes.
Fiber.
Yep, we don't build anything
on the
out.
The extension is going to be fiber, but everybody will have fiber by when in Castle?
Yeah, I mean, the town of Castle will be all able to convert to fiber by the end of the year.
Yeah. 2023?
Yeah, we don't build coax anymore at all. It doesn't make sense. And the plan is that everything needs to be converted, so that's what's happening now.
And down to your question before, we just looked at 5 miles for 4 houses. We're building that as part of this.
And what's the completion for?
For the county? They have their own stipulations with how they wrote the contract, and the official contract has not been put out yet. But we agreed to a timeline of, I believe it was by the end of 2025, which is ambitious. That just leaves time for if there's any problems with the make ready, things like that. That, unfortunately, is what takes the most amount of time, is the make ready with the utilities. with the pole owners, which would be Central Hudson and Verizon. It just, that's what takes the longest. But I don't anticipate it taking that long for the town of Catskill at all.
I mean, a lot of that, I mean, we always knew we had an on-surge of residents both when the pandemic hit in 2020. And then we had a lot of residents move up, not familiar with the area.
Yeah.
You know, they bought homes, like out on High Falls, High Falls Extension, and all of a sudden they want to work from home.
Yeah.
Or your children are home because they're not allowed to go to school because we can't have people around each other. And people have to find a hot spot. And there's a lot of people who don't even have a car to get to the hot spot so their kids can do school. And that's my experience working in Ulster County. That didn't involve Catskill, but I'm sure it's a similar situation.
Well, during the pandemic, made us, and we stayed open 7 days a week. We ran nonstop. We also did give free access to the schools to have that, to be a hotspot down there for areas that didn't, mm-hmm. no charge to them.
Right. We had Dutchman's Landing, I believe, had a hotspot down at the point.
We had
the senior center recently in Catskill as well.
And we also had accounts with Catskill Central School District for students and families that couldn't afford Wi-Fi. We set up accounts for them free of charge and ran the program until they were able to go back to school. And, you know, installed them as well.
And we had gone, and because of the pandemic, and we touched on a little bit of that too, it did draw attention to a lot of us.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
the state and the county, everybody kind of has gotten involved in trying to make sure that something that the Reynolds family has been pushing for decades. I mean, this is 52 years of a company in the local community trying to focus on that. And he was correct. We did go down to 10 houses as well, like they did per mile. But that's no longer good anymore, right? We are going all the way.
Yeah.
Fiber to all fiber home.
Yeah, from a technology perspective as well, we're running XGS-PON right now, so it's not good as a thing of the future. I can speak of previous work as well. Company I worked for was a company called Hotbar Communications in Florida, who is the fastest ISP in the U.S.
Is it Fusion?
What's that?
Is it called Fusion?
Fusion,
yeah.
Hotbar Fusion,
yep.
Correct. And they're primarily were in South Florida and then going to California and Texas. Not relative, but they were one of the first people to do XGS back in 2019. This is not that new anymore. Madison is deploying that solely in the future, and every customer that has regular GPON service right now will have XGS within 2 months.
And Joe's our chief technical officer. I know you guys have met him before at a meeting, but so he's our CTO.
Any further questions?
It's exciting for the town and the residents to find that.
Everybody good?
Can I?
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
We'll let the town attorney ask the question.
I'm Ted Hiller, I'm the town attorney. So we've been given a very short document here, it's about 4 pages, from Archtop. And basically, they want us to partner with them in an application for funding, which hopefully would result in underserved, you know, creating service to underserved people in Catskill. This agreement is, by the terms of the agreement, it's non-exclusive, and the town of Catskill under this agreement could enter into a similar agreement with other potential providers. So I guess my question is, kind of two ways of asking the same question. Are you going to be coming in and asking us to sign an agreement like this? And a related question would be, is there any reason you would give to the town board of Catskill not to enter into this agreement with Archtop?
I can tell you they've asked for this from other municipalities, including, I know they asked specifically Columbia County. I can tell you Columbia County was advised not to do it. I don't know what those reasons are. You know, we feel like we've partnered with the town of Catskill and Greene County for the last where we serve. We don't go up to Hunter Mountain or anything there, but we everywhere that we are, that there are gaps within a certain mile radius, will be closed for us. So, you know, we didn't ask for any sort of agreement or document to be signed through the partnerships. I don't think we felt that was necessary, Joe. I mean, we were committed to just building what we were building, and that's what we've been doing and what we're going to continue doing.
So this is unnecessary.
I mean, it's hard for me to speak to that without, you know, my CFO here who would advise differently. Unfortunately, he couldn't be here.
And I understand. I appreciate. I'm putting you on the spot,
yeah.
but we have this, and the town board is being asked to consider to go forward with this or not. So I'm just, you know, I'm asking a hard question that maybe, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm familiar with things being non-exclusive. We do that, you know, with the franchise for the television. We have non-exclusive agreements with every franchise that we operate in. It does look good. That's what looks good to investors. It looks good to banks. It does. I understand the document. I don't know that it's necessary.
But if it helps, you as a company get money, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? The level of playing field. If they're asking for it, you should ask for it.
Right. And I don't know that we're in that step yet of, you know, we know that this BEAD funding and all that will be released shortly. We've filed our, you know, census. It's like a constant. It's like a full-time job filing the census to make sure everything's accurate, because as you guys know, with the state broadband that came out a few years ago, it wasn't accurate, and that's why so many people got left behind. And, you know, I don't know that there would be a document like this from us.
Yeah, I would say that more critically, we wouldn't be looking for that money typically.
Yeah.
We're going anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be done by the end of the year without the money. So from our perspective, getting that BEAD money in relation to this area is not real relevant.
And then to your answer to your question, I guess we'd bluntly say you're correct, probably not necessary.
I don't know of us having any plans to file for further grants because, like Joe just said, we're building it anyway.
Right.
We don't want to wait for the money. We are just building it.
And as you know, I'm sure you all know, waiting for the state.
Yeah.
You can wait a long time.
Thank you.
Any other comments on Goodmanson?
Is it appropriate for me to? I'd like to just point out that we are building all of Catskill without public comment.
All the Catskill down to what's 10?
Well, 2,508 miles without public comment.
Okay.
The extension to those lower density areas that are being built right now by other incumbents as well, including Frontier and Verizon and State and some others, is being done with public funding. So I'm saying that no one uses, but they're not using public funding is not entirely accurate. And as I said, this is a method to take our investment and leverage the public funding that is available to get to areas where we wouldn't necessarily build ourselves. All of the towns within the city, within the town of Catskill, that we have, and you can see our fiber map there, will be built irrespective of how full of us
it
is.
It sounds like a redundant service. If the county's already paying for it, now you're asking us to pay for something for you.
I'm not asking you to pay for a venture.
Sure you are. If you want us to ask for federal money
to
reach out to areas that you don't want to pay for, you're asking for money from us.
No, this is federal BEAD money. There is no obligation by the town to spend any dollars, and there never will be.
No, I'm not saying, I'm saying us as a town, we're the steward of
the
people's money.
We're like,
right?
We're a participant in the grant application.
We'll be the applicant.
You're a co-applicant?
You would provide, I assume you probably did for the New York State Broadband Fund, a letter of support.
There's nothing playing.
And I applaud the stewardship of public funding. We consider ourselves good stewards of it as well. Where we have accepted it, we have built out, you know, and provide the best level of service. So, I just don't want to
misapprehension that we are somehow a creature of public funding. This is a way to extend our business plan, again, a $350 million in total business plan. And if this money does become available, and there are locations in the town that are deemed fundable, somebody should apply for those funds. Whether it's us or whether it's another operator, somebody should apply for those funds. This puts us in the opportunity to be able to do that. If we don't, that money will go somewhere else.
Okay, thank you. Okay, guess we're going to move on from fiber optics. And we're going to take everything under consideration. I mean, coming into the meeting tonight, we didn't anticipate, you know, giving, passing a resolution in support of what we're talking about with Archtop. I mean, it was a gathering of information for the town board, and we'll, you know, take that under further consideration. Next one I have up on our new business is for the Leeds from Mary Sheridan. They're going to have the annual cleanup again at Leeds, which started last year, which is going to be May 13th at 9 o'clock. She's asked for the town just to supply a dump truck and some of the bags. And it was a very successful event last year, so hopefully for the people that we got here from Leeds, it would be nice to see as much participation as we can. It was good. We started up by the thruway and went up to the Leeds Bridge, I believe, and now 23 by Father and Sons. But again, Mary's not here tonight, but again, I thank her for spearheading it and getting this project underway. And as Panelville has one of the very similar cleanups, it's something that hopefully we can carry on, and the town's here to support those efforts. Next one up is the, probably should get a motion on that, for New York State Unified Court Systems, for the, they're going to call it the Justices Reports. Do we need a motion on that, just to do that? Or
yeah,
that?
We need a resolution.
Resolution, so we need a motion.
Motion.
Motion by Jared, and second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion subcarried. Next one we have is Green County Board of Elections polling sites agreement, which we have a primary on 6/27, and the general election is on 11/7/23. So we need a motion to get through that agreement with Green County for supplying a polling site.
Second.
First step by Patrick, and second by Dawn. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried. Next request that we have is receiver taxes to request. Requested to attend training for himself and his deputy, which is Anthony Petronani. And I think the, what was the price on that? I can't remember on my documents. It's like $350, I believe.
$585
for FI for both of them.
Single occupancy double is $723, $361 per person.
So if we're in favor of that, I need a motion.
Second motion
by Jerry. Need a second?
Second
by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion so carried. Matt Carlisle, he's our code enforcement officer. He wants to volunteer for a CEDAR application, and what that's about is if there's an emergency in the state of New York where they call upon other code officers to go to other communities in a national disaster, he wants to be part of that team in the event he's called upon. So we need a motion to for that. Motion by Patrick.
Second.
Seconded by Jared. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried. Next one we have up the Senior Center through the ARPA money. We're hanging the Senior Center, Green County, for those not aware, Green County through their ARPA funding gave $100,000 to every municipality, village, towns within the county. And we've made our investment at the Senior Center in flooring. We did some work on the parking lot. And the next item, we still have some of that $100,000 left, is we're going to paint the interior. And we have a quote from Rip Van Winkle Painting, which is Brian Caro. We have one from Michael Cole and Richard Mishunik. Brian Caro is the lowest bidder. We're quote on that at $7,800. So I'd like to have a motion to get that work completed.
Motion
by Dawn. Second by Paul. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against, motion so carried.
So what's left of that now?
Well, I think we might. I would say about 6,000 left.
That's all.
Another thought I had to discuss. We got cameras is another item that we talked about.
We have.
And I think for the LED lighting, talk about what projects next, but if we could do all the LED lighting, it's something we might want to consider.
They're almost out of money.
Did that program though?
Yeah.
So we'll check into that, but I'll get back. And so what's you interested in cameras or windows?
Ceiling tiles.
Ceiling tiles? On the ceiling tiles is what we talked about, is possibly doing the hallway retiling and taking the good tiles from the hallway and put them into the main area where we have some ceilings from air conditioning. So we might be able to spruce it up with spending only 10% of the money that we need to replace all the tiles. Okay. So that's all we had on the agenda.
We're going to make the zoning map changes.
Yeah, we want to make the zoning map changes, so that was more for the IDA area.
Our public notice, our public hearing for the zone revisions also covered two changes to the map. This would be parcels number 138-11-13 and 138-14-1 would both be zoned highway commercial. The front, and these are the two parcels that are directly adjacent to the thruway on old Route 23. So the side that's on Stewart's sign, the thruway exit exchange side, the parcel, the back, very, it's less than an acre, which would potentially be where a hotel would go. The whole front is zoned highway commercial. The back would also be rezoned highway commercial. Similarly, on the other side of the thruway, the front, where the old gas station is, is already highway commercial, and then the rest of the parcel going back to the bypass would be rezoned. So
we would do that by local law. It would be local law number 2. We're just going to change the map, and we'll make our revisions. That'll be local law number 3 in the future. Is that okay?
Sure.
That sound good?
Sure.
Okay. So we'll do the CEQA first. Okay, and then you can vote on it. I've submitted the full environmental assessment form to the county. The county got back to us and said that whatever we do is up to us. So I'm going to read the questions. I'm going to assume that all the answers are no, unless I hear some concerns. I go through the questions. Remember that all we're doing now is changing the zoning map. So when we get, let's say hypothetically, when we get to the point where the hotel is going to be built, that site plan is going to have its own CEQA review. So when we say, is there going to be any physical impact to the site, that's a no. Because the physical impact to the site will be assessed at the time that the planning board does their site plan review. So we're just talking about changing to the zoning map. Proposed action may involve construction on or physical alteration of the land surface of the proposed site. No. The proposed action may result in modification or destruction or inhibit access to any unique or unusual landforms on the site. No. The proposed action may affect one or more wetlands or other surface bodies. No. The proposed action may result in new or additional use of groundwater or may have the potential to introduce contaminants to groundwater or an aquifer. No. The proposed action may result in development on land subject to flooding. No. The proposed action may include a state-regulated air emission source. No. The proposed action may result in a loss of flora or fauna. No. The proposed action may impact agricultural resources. No. The proposed action the land use of the proposed action are obviously different from or in sharp contrast to current land use pattern between the proposed project and a scenic or aesthetic resource. No. The proposed proposed action may occur in or adjacent to a historic or archaeological resource. The answer to that is yes. Old Route 23 is the Susquehanna Turnpike, which is on the National Register of Historic Places. However, the impact will be no impact or small impact. Proposed action may result in a loss of recreational opportunities or a reduction of open space resource as designated in the adopted principal open space plan. No. Proposed action may be located within or adjacent to a critical environmental area. No. Proposed action may result in a change to existing transportation systems. No. Proposed action may result in an increase in the use of any form of energy. No. Proposed action may result in an increase in noise, odors, outdoor lighting. No. Proposed action may have an impact on human health from exposure to new or existing sources of contaminants. No. Proposed action is inconsistent with adopted land use plans. No. The proposed action is inconsistent with the existing community character. No. So if those answers are accurate,
make a motion to declare negative debt.
Second.
Jared, all those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
And motion to approve the zoning map changes.
Okay, so we need to
make a motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Motion so carried.
I'm sorry, can you please tell me who seconded?
Cool.
Thank you.
Sorry.
That's fine.
Okay. Anything else, Doug? Do you want to speak to the summer rec program at all? Or that's another time?
No, we should.
Yes. We have to get on it.
We should. We should get, we need it. Right.
Yep. Jared and I met with the principal for the elementary school, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
We went over the program. We talked about the length of the program, whether it's going to be 4 weeks versus 6 weeks, the amount of kids, the amount of counselors per kid that's needed. The school's going to help us with that. The cost, we told them that the community center basically backed out. So this is solely funded by the town of Catskill and any donations that we received. I've reached out to probably half a dozen organizations within the town of Catskill, all come back and said that they would help either financially or with programs that we run through the program, the summer rec. We need to send a letter to the superintendent's office requesting use of the building. I know John is also going to send something to the superintendent.
Are they still going to provide the lunches and like they did last year?
Yes, we have to work the schedule out so where our kids are being fed the same time as the summer school kids. I think it was the last 2 weeks of August last year, we had the program run longer than normal, and it was getting into their cleaning time, so it was a pain for the school. Another issue that we had last year was, for some reason we were under the impression that the building was not available to us. The classroom,
right.
But they are. I think it was the Red Wing, if I remember correctly. That's available, and they'll make any other accommodations.
If they're cleaning, we'll move us together. I mean, last year it seemed like all our activities had to happen in the gymnasium area or the outside area.
And that's not the case.
Well, that's the other thing we'll discuss is a better enrichment level.
I mean, last year, for the community center, in years prior, we funded a lot of programs with the community center, and to help them have money, retain money, we funded them through the town of Castle and Mid-Hudson and many other local community organizations helped out with that. I'm not sure, we're going to have to follow up with the community center.
Yes, I'm the secretary to that board, and I have not been told that we backed out. So I don't know who said that.
The town has asked, and we get no response. So we got to get this program going, so we're just going to go without it.
If we can get some kind of solid information.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked with Francis in detail. She's got a kind of spirit. Jeff's no longer in
there.
Jeff's, I don't know what time for, but I mean,
he's swiftly a couple.
The only thing we keep on getting is the money's in an endowment, and we don't know what to do with the money.
If we can help us follow up on that, that would be great.
Yeah, I would like to say that we have not bowed out completely, because that was not what I got from the last meeting we had. I don't know what the amount would be, but that was not the impression I got from the last meeting.
Okay, well, that's good.
But I will follow up on that. And just speaking from Mid-Hudson's perspective, we'll give at least what we gave last year, which I think was 2,500.
That's the number, I think it was 2,500 for me.
Yeah, so that I definitely can commit to.
And I don't think the community center has made a stance that they weren't going to support us, but we haven't had a line of communication of saying they
would
support us.
Since Jeff left, it's been very hard to get everybody like committed, like completely to anything. So I just, without saying too much, but my impression from our last meeting was that we were not bowing out.
Okay.
So, but I will follow up on that.
Okay. And we hope that to be the case because we were good supporters and and the children of our community. You know, if there's money there, I'd like to see it spent on honoring you in the town of Catskill for sure. And it does alleviate some of the tax burden on residents that may not have children that participate in those particular programs.
Yeah.
So we've got to leave that as far as who's going to spearhead. Maybe you guys going to work here.
We've got to find a place for swimming.
Swimming is an issue.
And transportation.
I mean, I wish I could say to the hearing that he may not.
He's not going to do it.
I heard he's not going to open up the swimming pool, but I guess
there's another guy where our kids go there.
So.
Athens was able to accommodate us last year, but it had to be either before or after the Coxsackie Athens students.
Right.
So.
Then there's what, Sleepy Hollow has a pool, and Wolf's Maple is where you can reach out to.
I just spoke with Alan from Wolf's last summer, and it was difficult because she has people that come and go during the week as well as the weekend, so she really can't give us a time period that's just hours.
That's going to be the transportation.
Transportation is very expensive when you transport anybody from I don't know what the number was, but we spent a tremendous amount of money after just getting children from the elementary school up to, say, the country club for swimming. It gets expensive rather quickly. Real quick, So, but who wants to be able to work with this year on this committee?
I think we all should team up, but the one thing we've been very clear is that we have one point of contact and one point of sign up, so that would be the town clerk.
Perfect.
The only person collecting money and signing people up would be the town clerk.
I mean, if we need to talk about how many participants.
50 kids.
Okay.
And then also, on top of that, you just got the letter for the cemetery help. We would like to send an additional requesting workers for the.
Yeah, we have that.
We have the agreement on workforce for our younger students that need that are looking for employment or and.
Rachel's familiar with that too.
What?
The workforce program.
Workforce New York, it's sponsored. It's administered to Columbia Community College.
I'm on that board too, on the executive committee. I have a meeting coming up. What I told Jared was, if you can get like interns and stuff from the workforce, or if they have like older students, younger college students that they want to employ, the workforce board at Columbia Green, like the program has more money than they know what to do with. Because of all the fund, like the grants and things that have come through. So, but just like what everyone else is facing right now, do they have the students that want to work?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
But definitely try to.
And that's why it's extremely important for us to know our schedule.
Said that they couldn't guarantee the funding. They weren't sure that there was going to be funding available this year.
Right.
For that particular program, I just know. From certain grant points, they have more than they know what to do with, but I can check on that. Who do you work with there?
I deal with Rebecca most of the time,
I also deal with Rebecca.
I think the other lady there, last name is Wanda from Coxsackie.
On the workforce board?
Yes, she's I got it on the readings, but I usually deal with.
I'm new to that board, so.
What's that? Rebecca is really my contact point.
Last
year it was 28 hours when we filmed out a schedule. It was like two or three years ago I had
cemetery.
Yep.
And, you know, this year I'm looking for...
I know she's looking because she just sent out her email last week because I got one.
We
that
did.
She's looking for...
Kirsten did as well.
Yeah. So it's important for us, I think, to come up with the scheduling, though, because you know, they have to know what they're going to offer positions.
Yep.
What are we looking for? What days of the week and what time we need what we're looking for?
Yeah, and I think she's being proactive because I don't know how many students she has interested at this time or if she could garner more interest based on what type of jobs are available.
Right. And that's on our behalf. We've got to be proactive as well and get those applications in.
Yeah, like if you know that you've got five, you want to hire five of them, or because that's funded through them, you don't have to pay them.
Right.
Which would be really great.
Or those better.
Right. And the community center, as you know, they use the workforce to a good level in the past to defer the cost factor.
Yeah, and that was a major cost factor is paying the staff.
Labor is
the
big one. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Is
it's a big swamp.
Did Mr. Rivers say 4 days a week?
Yes. Same schedule.
We were just talking about when starting it because apparently last year some kids that really should have went to the summer school diverged and went to our program. And they were some kids that they wanted in our program that should have been in summer school. But since the program started at the same time and ours was 2 hours older, people chose our program. When there were some kids that really could have used the summer school instead. So we were talking about maybe letting them do the summer school and then spend the last 2 hours with us.
I thought that's what we had discussed last year, too.
You guys are going to need to follow up as a group, obviously, but somebody's got to spearhead it. Maybe we'll begin to where we want to be.
The big thing will be setting within 4 weeks we're going to do.
Well, when do the superintendent sign off on it?
We can start rolling.
So we need to send a letter to the superintendent.
Liz, can you do that?
Can you help us?
Sure.
Let's take a letter to the superintendent requesting school. And hopefully we can get some more information.
Patrick's had a lot of good response from people in the community as far as they have, you know, either monetarily or they have stuff they can offer to the program.
Okay.
So we do the first come, first serve?
Yes.
You put a throw over that on it.
Right.
How do we have to? First come, first serve?
People that get informed early, that really doesn't have the best chance. But somebody say today, the early bird gets the worm and the second mouse gets the cheese. I didn't like that one. All right. With that, I guess, any other...
Will, we're going to have our last zoning discussion next time.
I would like it to be the next time.
Hopefully
we can pass our zoning.
Okay.
It's only a week away. Every
year. Yeah, if I could just suggest, so I sent these 10 items here. I'm going to suggest, obviously, for you to take a look at, but items 1 through 6 are more ambiguity, consistency.
Here's what I found.
Are ambiguity, consistency type items, which I'm going to recommend that those are going to be acceptable. The ones that really need discussion are going to be 7, 8, and 9. So if we could, and then 10 is kind of off the table. 10 is kind of Route 23.
But 1 through 6 are.
1 through 6 are. I think those are givens. 7, 8, and 9 we'll have discussion, and then if we want to talk a little bit about rights of way. So there's 4. Hopefully there will be 4.
That was
That was today, what I said to you today. So those will be the 4 things that we really need to spend a little bit of time on.
Right. And the next one that you know is on the agenda is the Hickory Notch property on Allenville, too. We want to start looking at that. That needs some help.
I think we should do that and the house on Old Kings at the same time.
You're ambitious here.
Well, since the house of Old King's been there since I was visiting my uncle 30 years ago.
We'll make Jared the assistant code.
There
he
goes.
He'll be bald to get a lot of those trucks.
Well, we got one of them needs, and again, we the Hickory Notch property. That's kind of gone.
That looks great in these. Thank you.
You like that one? That's been bothering me for a long time. Yeah, a real long time.
I got to go across the street.
The billboard. I remember when they were brand new, when they were
put up.
But now, again, there's
That was in the 1900s, wasn't it?
I was around the second.
That was the first fire truck that pulled by a horse.
On the Hickory Notch property, I mean, we've had a lot of complaints about that over the years, and it's been something that we've had court cases with it, and we just haven't gotten really great response from the property owners on that, so we kind of won't. I think we've got one more court date coming, maybe tomorrow, but after that, we kind of exhausted that avenue, so we may have to get an invitation in front of the town board. That's Hickory Notch.
To
the Palin, on 23A, as you're almost leaving town. Some of the buildings are good, and some of them are pretty much down now. So you got
that's the worst thing I've ever heard of. And I noticed it today.
It's Palin.
We should request the highway superintendent puts up new tattered casket plans.
I agree with that too. I think what Jared's saying is, it says when you're welcome to Catskill and you come in on 9W,
you can see
or 9W North, 9W South, 32 South, it doesn't matter. The signs are old, faded, crooked. So I think all new signs welcome to Catskill, with our logo on it, would be a nice presentation.
Well, I was coming to talk to them. Occasionally,
that's just one other way that we can do better. But there's a list of dogs.
I look to see where the town line is occasionally when I'm coming through. And you couldn't decide if there's one.
Yeah. So let's make a request.
So let's just make a formal request from the board to the highway superintendent to change the.
Okay.
Send an email.
All right. So you want to send an email with us? So sure. That will work for me. Perfect.
Motion to adjourn.
Anything else here? Anybody else? Any comments from the floor before we close our meetings? Anything that we haven't covered? Or
I just got two emails about SummerRec specifically, and then they asked about, did you still have interest in joining?
Yes, I have my letter.
Okay, well, I just said, as far as I knew, you still had interest, and if we could have a meeting ASAP, because Francis has been traveling, it's been part of the problem. She's just returned. She